President Carter said to remind you, it's Sunday morning here, after this service comes to a conclusion, just kind of stay put, and he's going to come and give instructions about how we're going to go eat that fried chicken. Or what is it we're having today? Is it fried chicken? Can we get an amen on fried chicken? So there'll be a little larger crowd at lunch here this morning, so just kind of stay put, and we'll get some instruction from our president. Get your Bibles. 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Why don't you just repeat this after me? Just say it out loud in your big outdoor voice. Think of that. Get up. Get out. Get going. That's our message for this morning. Back in 1994, USA Today documented the story. It happened out in Los Angeles. A guy by the name of Roger Johnson. Maybe he was having a midlife crisis. Kind of tired of the mundane routine of his life. And he's talking to some of his buddies after work on the back patio of his house while they're consuming their favorite beverages. And they were not Coca-Colas. Get to talking about maybe what if there was something else in life. And he's sitting in his lawn chair and he got to thinking, wonder if I could make this lawn chair fly. Wonder what it'd be like if I could just fly in this lawn chair up above the fence top and above the rooftop and kind of just fly around the neighborhood a little bit. Remember, they're drinking their favorite beverages. Well, the more they drink their beverages, they come up with a plan. And so the next day when they get off work, they get in Roger Johnson's backyard and they tied 100 helium-filled balloons to his lawn chair. And Roger Johnson, still holding one of his favorite beverages in his hand, they started a countdown. And it was 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. They let go of the lawn chair. The lawn chair not only went up above the fence row, it went up above the rooftops. It got up to over 1,000 feet in the air. There was even a transmission at LAX, the big airport in Los Angeles, it probably went something like this. Oh, Roger, we have a lawn chair at 1,500 feet. So, I mean, it turns into a catastrophe. And they had to dispatch some helicopters. And long story short, they got the guy back down. And the TV cameras show up. And the microphones put in a very stunned Roger Johnson's face. And you know, they're asking him, what in the world were you thinking? And how did you think you would get down? And he said, well, I had a BB gun with me. And he said, my thought was I'd start shooting out balloons, and that would kind of lower me down. But he said, I lost the BB gun at 500 feet. But finally, they asked the question, why did you do it? And Roger Johnson, kind of stunned, said, well, you can't just sit there. Let me share a message with you this morning that calls for some action. Get up from your suffering, get out of your sin, and get going with shouts of praise. There's a story in 2 Samuel chapter 12. We're going to pick it up at verse 13. But here's what's been going on. King David has entered into that adulterous affair with Bathsheba. And he thought he kind of got away with it. But you realize in here this morning, you never get away with sin. And he's kind of thinking, well, everything's going to be fine. I had my fun. Well, then he gets word that Bathsheba is pregnant. Now matters are worse. I mean, this is the king of Israel. He's got a family. What's he going to do? It'd be quite the scandal in today's politically charged climate. What's he going to do? He did what so many people do when sin is involved. He tried to cover it up. And he arranges to have Bathsheba's husband sent to the battlefront and essentially murders him, puts him to death. He's bound to die. They're on the battlefront. So he thinks he's taken care of the problem, but as you well know, one sin leading to another sin is not the answer. 9 months pass. It's time for Bathsheba to have the baby. Pick up the scripture, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13. Then David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Nathan replied, "The Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. But because by doing this you have made the enemies of the Lord show utter contempt, the son born to you will die." Now this is a very interesting story. Listen to this. After Nathan had gone home, the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife had borne to David, and he became ill. David pleaded with God for the child. He fasted and went into the house and spent the night lying on the ground. The elders of his household stood beside him to get him up from the ground, but he refused. He would not eat any food with them. On the seventh day, the child died. David's servants were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they thought, while the child was still living, "We spoke to David, but he would not listen to us. How can we tell him the child is dead? He may do something desperate." David noticed that his servants were whispering among themselves, and he realized the child was dead. "Is the child dead?" he asked. "Yes," they replied, "he is dead." Then David got up from the ground. After he had washed, put on lotions, and changed his clothes, he went into the house of God and worshipped. Then he went to his own house, and at his request, they served him food, and he ate. His servants asked him, "Why are you acting this way? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept, but now that the child is dead, you get up and eat." He answered, "While the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. I thought, who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live. But now that he is dead, why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me." It's a fascinating story. Get up from your suffering. There's all kinds of suffering in this world. So many times we focus on physical needs. That seems to dominate our prayer requests around church. And I've heard some doozies in my time when you've been in much church as I have. I think one of my all-time remembrances is a little church in southwestern Ohio. The guy got a little mixed up during prayer request time. He said, "Pray for my wife. She's having that prostate surgery tomorrow." And then a black church preaching one night up in Roanoke, Virginia, and great friends of mine have preached there several times. And I love how Apostle Taylor was taking prayer requests. He said, "Sister Jones, we learned, fell down this week. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Broke her leg in three places. Hallelujah. But we're going to pray that God's going to heal her." We have all kinds of suffering. As we get older, these bodies just tend to break down a little bit, don't they? And things that once worked well are not working well. I love down there at Avon Park, a little couple sitting out. They had their little patio there and been married for so many years. And he was kind of feeling maybe he hadn't shared his love the way he ought to his companion of so many years. And he looked over there at her and he said, "Honey," he said, "I want you to know I appreciate you." She said, "Huh?" He said, "I appreciate you." She said, "I'm tired of you too." Sometimes we don't hear quite like we used to. Well, then they straightened that all out, and she got to feeling bad what she said back to him. And she said, "Well, why can't it be like it used to be?" And she said, you never come over and just kind of bite me on the ear and whisper sweet nothings in my ear anymore." Well, he got up and left. He came back. She said, "Where'd you go?" He said, "I went to get my teeth." Things change a little bit through the years. But now listen, even in our suffering, I'm going to show you by an act of the will we can get up from our suffering today. Not just physical suffering, because as much as we emphasize physical suffering, there's pain that hurts far worse than physical pain. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Whoever said that didn't know what they were talking about, did they? Words hurt. People can just cut us down and criticize us and, I mean, almost literally destroy us. So there's an emotional pain. There's all kinds of suffering. But I'm here to tell you this morning, whatever you're going through, even if it's divorce, even if it's rejection, even if it is something that you cannot even bear to open up about and talk about, the gospel this morning tells us that we can get up. How many times did Jesus say to someone, "Get up. Take up your bed and walk." But now here's a very important question. It's really the million-dollar question this morning. Whatever the greatest suffering you're going through today, do you want to get well? Jesus actually asked someone that question. Do you remember? Do you want to get well? So there becomes a point where there has to be an act of the will, the volition. Sometimes we just kind of linger in our suffering. And we just stay there. I want to give you some encouragement here today. Get up from your suffering. How do we do it? Twofold. Number one, if you don't like it, change it. Now, that might sound a little bit harsh. And I know some of you are way ahead of me, but you just stay with me. I'll get where you're at. I just think so many times, folks, we stay in situations that there are some things we could do about. But sometimes we just like to wallow in that suffering and tell you about it, you about it, you about it, you about it. If you don't like it, change it. Now this is not real spiritual, but I'm just going to give you a quick illustration of this. Oh, probably 10 years ago. I happened to get on the scales one day, and I weighed 225 pounds. And I thought, my goodness. And I looked in the mirror at myself. And I told Tammy, I said, "I don't think I want to become a big preacher." And I mean, you know, there were just some things going. My health wasn't good, and was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. And my doctor told me, "You got to quit drinking all those Coca-Colas." I drink 8 or 10 a day. And you've got to quit drinking those Coca-Colas. So I did. I switched to Dr. Pepper. That didn't work. But I mean, I'll never forget, there's a moment when I said, "I don't like this." And I consciously, willfully, an act of the volition, decided, "I want to change this." And over a course of time, diet, exercise, all that stuff. I weigh 185 today. That's 40 pounds. If you don't like it, change it. Now, again, some of you are saying that don't even fit at a camp meeting. How in the world does that really? You have no clue, preacher, what I'm going through this morning. Stay with me. How do you get up from your suffering? If you don't like it, change it. If you can't change it, commit it unto God. If you can't change it, commit it. There are things that you'll never be able to change with discipline, with an act of your will. But there is the possibility to say in here this morning, with your volition, "God, I give this burden to you today." Some of you have carried some burdens in here today that are too heavy for you to bear. You're not equipped to carry some of the stuff you've brought in here today. There's hurt, there's pain, there may be abuse, there may be things in the past that there's no way you can go back and change. good news. If you can't change it, commit it unto God. David, he cried, he wept, he fasted, he did everything he could to bring about a healing for his son. It wasn't in the divine will of God, so he commits it unto God. He said, I can't bring my boy back, but aren't you glad, Christians, we have this hope? David said, I can go to him. Get up from your suffering today. It's an act of the will. Johnny Erickson Tada, that lady that has inspired so many of us with her writings down through the years, a beautiful young lady, a swimmer, a diver, in that accident years ago, paralyzed. And she said one time, I heard her speak, and she said, some days I hate this wheelchair. She said, there are days that I've screamed at this wheelchair. And I've screamed at the heavens and said, my God, why? She said, I don't have the answers, but she said, I found out my tears count with God. And tears are a language that God can understand. And as we read the New Testament, isn't it interesting? Jesus, who became as us, goes to a cross and He almost ended on the cross with, why? But in His dying breath, He went beyond the why. I want you to push through the why. Is this happening to me? And why am I going through what I'm going through? He pushed through the why. And at the very last moment, He said, Father, into Your hands I commend my spirit. If you can't change it, commit it unto God. Get up from your suffering. Well, the Scripture also teaches us that we can get out of our sins. In David's case, sin is the problem. I mean, and so many times, if we be honest, the mess we're in today, it's because we made it. We don't like to agree with that. I used to have a sign in my office when I pastored. And it helped me stay grounded every now and then along this line. That sign said, if I could kick the person most responsible for my troubles in life, I wouldn't be able to sit down for a week. Did you get that? When do we get in trouble? When we make bad decisions. David made a horrible decision. And he goes deep into sin. Let me just tell you again, for emphasis sake, sin does not just happen. We pull the trigger. I don't know how many times through the years I've heard people say that to me. Well, it just happened, preacher. I'll never forget when I was pastoring down there in Orlando, Florida. I'd heard that so many times, and this guy comes in my office, and I'm talking about a church member. I'm talking about a guy, family man in the church. And yet he, like David, made a bad decision. And I mean, it's all coming to fruition. I mean, it's hitting the fan. He's going to lose his family. He's going to lose his marriage. And I mean, he's broken in my office. But I'll never forget, he said, preacher, you got to understand, it just happened. Now, I knew the guy well enough. I looked right back at him and I said, where did it happen? He looked at me real strange. He said, what? I said, no, you said this thing just happened. I said, tell me, where did it happen? He said, you really want to know? And I said, yeah, tell me. He told me about a little motel 35 miles up the road. I said, so now you telling me that night your car just took off and you had to chase it. Don't tell me sin just happens. We plan it. It's premeditated. It's in the mind. It's in the heart before it ever is played out. I've got good news for you. There's not a sin in here this morning so big, so bad, but what God can forgive. How do we get out of our sin? Two ways here. Again, it's going to take an act of the will. It's going to take an act of the volition. How do we get out of our sin? Number one, confess your sin. That's when we get saved. That's when we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. And we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If you want to read about David's confession, go to Psalm 51. You know how he repents of his sin. I say it again for emphasis' sake. There's not a sin in here so big, so bad, but what God can't forgive in here today. How do you get out of your sin? Confess it. And then secondly, surrender yourself unto God. That's what we heard about in here last night. After we're saved, we believe that there can be a moment in time when you can surrender yourself and be sanctified through and through. If you've never done that, this would be a great day to do it. If we're truly going to get out of our sin, not just the acts, but the nature of sin being cleansed in our lives, confess our sin, but then surrender ourselves unto God. And I'd say something kind of strong here. I hope you can receive this. Sometimes we go back and forth, that yo-yo experience with God, get saved every camp meeting. Hello. My dad said I was born again and again and again when I was growing up. Every camp meeting I'd get saved. But I'm glad I can come to you this morning and I can preach a message of full salvation. And I want to say something strong here to one that might be struggling with a specific sin. Until you get to the point where you hate that sin, you'll probably keep doing it. Now fasten your seatbelt and grab that. Until you reach the point where you hate that sin, I mean, you can keep running back down to the altar and keep asking forgiveness, but I'm glad I can preach to you full salvation in here today. And you don't have to live under the tyranny of sin, and you don't have to live under the bondage of sin. How do we get up from our suffering? If you don't like it, change it. If you can't change it, commit it unto God. How do we get out of our sin? Confess it, and then surrender yourself. And then look how this story closes. Get going with shouts of praise. Now, David has just had something devastating happen. He's lost a child. Maybe there's no greater pain in life than losing a child. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And he weeps and he cries and he fasts and he prays, and it was not God's divine will that that child live. When David got news that the child had died, the people around him said, we're scared to tell him. He'll probably kill himself. He'll do something desperate. But when David finds out the child is dead, he gets up from his suffering. And the Bible says, put it in today's vernacular, he goes home, he takes a shower, he put on some Calvin Klein cologne, and he heads off to church, and he gives praise and worship unto God. Now see, the world don't understand this. Get up from your suffering, get out of your sin, then get going with shouts of praise. How in the world do you do that when life has hit back and you're going through the hardest place you've ever had to go through? How can you praise in the midst of uncertainty and devastation? I'm going to tell you, and again, it's going to take an act of our will. It's a choice we have. How many of you in here today would agree that God is all-powerful? We all agree with that? Here's a statement for you. Let's start acting like it. It's easy to shout on the mountaintop, isn't it? But I'm telling you, as Christians today, we have the privilege of praising even when we're down in the valley. Now, how do we do it? Two ways. Number one, you can praise with feeling. Now that's easy. If it feels good, do it. Well, every now and then we get in mountaintop experiences. Even in a church service, the glory falls. We get all excited and we praise God. I've been known to get up and run around the building every now and then, scare Tammy to death. Sometimes we just feel it. And it's wonderful when we feel it. But you know as well as I do, more often than not, we're not going to feel it. Especially when we're going through the suffering of life. So how do we get up from our suffering, get out of our sin, and get going today with shouts of praise, even when we're going through a hard, desperate place? Praise with feeling. How about this? Praise with faith. Praise with faith has nothing to do with how you feel. David got up, went to the temple, began to Worship God. Praise God. And then did you get this in the story? He said, now let's go eat fried chicken. It's in there. At his own request, let's go home, let's eat. Pass me the potato salad. How can you do that? I can't bring my son back, but I can go to him. There's a hope beyond this world. Now, we know all of that. And yet so many times we miss it. Now I hope I can tell you this. I hope you can follow this. This morning at breakfast, we were talking about baseball over at our table, and I'm a big baseball fan. I'm a big Cincinnati Red fan. Huge Cincinnati Red fan. Amen. One or two. I root for the Braves until they play the Reds. And I think the Reds are playing in Atlanta this week. Somebody offered me tickets, and I said, I'm preaching camp meeting. I love the Cincinnati Reds, and one of my, might even be a little vice in my life, I think it's one of the little perks at the travel and evangelism. I paid $79.95 and I've got MLB.com on my laptop computer, even on my phone. And I can watch any baseball game I want to watch. And the great thing about this, they archive these games because I'm preaching almost every night of the week somewhere. And so what's so fun... The ball game's going on while I'm preaching, but I can go back to my room later that night, and at my own convenience, I can pull it back up and watch it. Last year, Tammy and I were down in Florida in a revival, and Cincinnati Reds were playing St. Louis, their rival, and it's a pennant race, and Reds need the game. And here's what I'll do. I cheat a little bit. I go in after the service, and I check the score. I don't want any of the details. I just want to see who won. Because if the Reds lost, I'm not going to waste my time and watch it. But if they win, I get all excited and I get into some loungewear and I get all comfortable and I'm going to watch me a ball game. Well, I check the score. The Reds win. So I'm all excited. I change clothes and I start watching the game. We're now to the sixth inning. The Reds are losing 3-0. And I start thinking, did I read that score right? I know the Reds have won. But I'm thinking, did I read that right? Seventh inning, it's 3-0. Eighth inning, the Reds get the bases loaded. Oh man, this is it. Only one out. And I'm all excited. Here it is. I know it's going to happen. Here it comes. Would you believe the guy up to bat grounds into a double play? Inning over. I mean, we're going to the ninth inning. When he grounded into that double play, I took my hand, I hit the table, I said, man, I can't believe. Tammy said, what in the world are you doing? I said, he just grounded into a double play. She said, you already know they win. Now make the parallel, folks. We know God's all powerful. We know we're on the winning side. But how many times do we go through life and things happen and we start questioning, is this word real? Is God really going to come through for me? Darlene Check, who worship pastor there at Hillsong Church in Australia and really kind of one of the giants in the praise and worship era that brought in along with a lot of the praise courses we sing, Shout to the Lord and what have you. Darlene Check, her husband found out they were having a baby. And they were so excited to have their child. And she's about midway through the pregnancy. And she's got a short tour that she's going to do before she comes off the road and have the baby. But she's going to meet the doctor before she takes the little tour. And her husband, he met her at the doctor's office. They came in two cars. They get in there thinking it's just going to be a routine checkup. And lo and behold, they get the devastating news that the baby is no longer alive. In her womb. And she's crushed. And they leave the doctor's office, and since they came in two cars, she just told her husband to drive it ahead of her and she'd follow. And she said, I got in that car, and she said, I'm devastated. And she said, I don't know what to think. And she said, my world has just collapsed on me. And she said, the tears started flowing and said, I couldn't drive. She said, I sat there in that car. And all of a sudden, she said, it was like the Holy Spirit prompted me, sing. Sing? How can I sing? I don't want to sing. I've just lost my baby. My world's just collapsed on me. How can I sing? I don't feel like singing. And yet she said, I've been around long enough. Here it comes again. The Holy Spirit's prompting her. Sing from your soul. And Darlene Chick said, it's kind of interesting. As I started singing, it wasn't one of my praise and worship songs. It was a song, she said, I learned out of the hymn book. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art! How great Thou art! Then sings my soul. Father, we're going to sing that song. Brother Leroy, would you just come and lead us in How Great Thou Art this morning? I pray that you would just encourage these wonderful people in here today. There may be someone that wants to bring their suffering down to this altar. There may be someone that, by an act of their will, would want to confess a sin and bring it down to this altar or surrender theirself. But Lord, certainly all of us today, we can shout praise. Maybe some with feeling, but for most of us, it's going to be in faith today. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. So just give us courage to mind You as we sing this wonderful hymn. And God, would You be glorified in all we do. In Christ's name we pray.